Namaste. Today's reflection is on dealing with difficulties. Difficulties can be looked at upon in two ways. One is we look at it as a difficulty, a problem, even a danger, etc., etc., which are born out of a reaction of the mind to the challenge. Or we can look at it as an opportunity to progress. Because it is only through, by taking these challenges of life, that we actually end up making progress. But sometimes the difficulties can overwhelm us. And they overwhelm us mainly, if we really look at it very clearly, it is because we react to them with an excess of emotion. We don't look at it dispassionately. If we learn to look at any difficulty, in fact, any difficulty, if we really look at it very dispassionately, we'll see that 90% of it is contributed because of our emotional reaction to it. Let's say we see, as we are seeing right now, figures, numbers, deaths, illnesses. Now, something within which is afraid of death, afraid of an illness, is reacting that, oh, it shouldn't come to me. It shouldn't happen to me. Now, actually, when we look at difficulties, we'll see that there are two levels at which any difficulty operates. One is outer. There is a problem which is outward. And there is another which is inside. It's important to handle both. The mother gives a very interesting example. She says, beings of the vital world. For instance, we talk about adversaries, adverse forces. They are, from where are they coming? They are coming from the dark vital worlds. She says, in the vital worlds, you have such forces. They assume a very, very big form. She gives the example of a Danish painter whom she had taught how to exteriorize and come out of the body. Once when he came out, he saw a very huge being, gigantic being, and he was very scared and wanted to come back into the body and to find the way. But then he couldn't. So he just looked at it and slowly he saw that the whole huge form shrunk and became very small. Now, this is what she is reminding us, that many times the difficulties are not so big, not so much. When we really look at it very dispassionately, in a very calm, rational manner, which is given to human beings. But if we are afraid, then actually we end up feeding it. By our attention and awareness, we give it energy from our side. Another thing that Sri Aurobindo reveals in one of the letters is that he says, turn your mind away from the difficulty. And he reveals this subtle truth that difficulties often increase when we keep on engaging the mind with it. There are so many examples, even in actual scientific difficulties and challenges where there is a problem to be solved. One tries and tries and tries, and then a time comes when one just puts the mind to rest and then pop the solution comes in. So he says this is a subtle law, that the more we think about a difficulty, the more it increases. So it's like a paradox. So there is a problem and we want to meet it, we want to solve it. The very fact that we are constantly trying to solve it, we are actually aggravating it. Whereas if we were just to keep quiet and stay quiet, many of these things, so-called problem, will come as a wave and go away. Let's take an example that somebody comes and starts fighting, picks up a quarrel with us. Now we take it as a problem, or there is this person who is always quarreling, and we start quarreling back, and the other person raises the voice, we also raise the voice. Now what is happening is we are stretching that moment. Whereas if were we to just stay quiet, either walk away from there, or maybe just speak a word and walk away, or just stay put quietly, after a while, finding no support from within us, the person will go away. There's a beautiful story about Nalnida when he was, walking on the road, and suddenly somebody met and, started insulting, throwing insults and all kinds of things. For a few minutes, Nalnida heard, and then when the person became quiet to take a breath, he said, is it over? Now can I go? And walks away. So similarly, it applies on all planes and all levels. Many of these adverse forces, they aggravate because we are all the time thinking of how to solve it. Instead of doing that, Sri Aurobindo recommends, the mother recommends, turn your mind away from the difficulty. So where do we turn the mind? There are 100 things in which we can turn the mind. But the best thing, the best object towards which we can turn the mind is to contemplate on just the very opposite which the difficulty comes. So supposing there is the difficulty where there is a possibility of death. You know, I'm taking an extreme example. Let's take the battlefield of Kurukshetra where there is a possibility of death. So what we should concentrate upon? We should concentrate upon immortality. It is a technique which is used in Raj Yoga, which is called a substitution. Just the opposite. Supposing we are meeting a human being in our life, we are facing the challenge of somebody hating us for whatever reason. So our thought should be concentrated on love. So when we have the problem of illness, our thought should be concentrated on health. Instead of being negatively, how to get rid of this illness. Now sometime when people want to get rid of something, they actually keep increasing it. I have a real instance of somebody who had a heart attack. And he said, actually, I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing jogging. I'm eating the right things. I don't indulge in anything. Still, I had a heart attack. Why? So I asked him, but why are you doing all these right things? He said, so that I don't fall ill. Now, you see, this is where the problem comes, that we do these things because we want to ultimately not fall ill. So what is running as an undercurrent in the subterranean regions? It is still fear. It is still anxiety. Whereas if we were to do all these things so that our body can become a fit instrument for the divine work. That's why the Mother Vansi says in good health lies the secret of transformation. But this good health is not about maintaining it by something purely only lifestyle changes. Lifestyle changes are good in any case. But most importantly, good health becomes a secret of transformation when we want to maintain a state of balance. When we want to maintain a state of harmony. That is what health is. So when we are in a state of balance and harmony, not because we don't fall sick. That's a very negative way of doing it. But because, so that we can offer ourselves more completely at the service of the divine. So this is a very subtle change inside, that we want to be not fall sick because we are afraid of sickness. The second is we want to remain healthy so that we can serve the divine better, longer, in a fit body, in a body growing more and more receptive and open. So this is the second part, to turn our mind away from the difficulty, and whatever be the nature of difficulty, we concentrate our mind on the very opposite, that, you know, the difficulty comes to challenge. The third way, which she says is very beautiful, she says simply, laugh at the adversary. What can the adversary do? You know, let's take, for example, people are so scared of an illness. What can the illness do at worst? It can take away the body. I mean, worst case scenario, it's death. What are we afraid of? What is it? If you really look at it very squarely, it is simply a changeover. It's a changeover. It's, you know, as we can put it, a complete organ transplant. It is a changeover into a new body, new consciousness, new state, which is always progressive. If you take Mother and Sri Aurobindo's view, and actually the view of original Vedanta. Unfortunately, now we have brought in all this karma aspect and all that, that no, a man can become an animal. No, it's a constant progression. So what is there to be afraid even about death? So when we look at it from that perspective, we just laugh. Somebody is trying to scare us. But the best way that we can laugh at the adversary is when we say that, oh, divine, you have come wearing this mask. You want to threaten me, but I have discovered you. The moment we start looking at the divine presence within all things, behind all things, then we begin to laugh. So this is also true. You know, many times when people, after all, what is terrorism? If we look at it in another dimension, what does a terrorist do? He wants to feel fear. Now, when people are full of fear, they try to flee. Now, this is exactly what he wants. And then he gets attention, when he gets space in the newspaper, he gets space in the media, and his work is done. He now starts capturing the mind of people, there is terrorism. Whereas, if you really laugh at that whole absurdity of the whole thing, then, because he's not getting what he wants, he will be forced to change his ways because he's not getting any kind of attention that we are giving to the person. We are simply... This is not to say that we should encourage or we should just, you know, let him be whatever he wants to do. No, certainly not. Meet the challenge. There are people who have to fight it, fight it. That's the end of the story. But at the same time, when we give too much space to these things within our consciousness, it's not healthy. So instead of giving too much space, simply laugh. And laugh, she says, how we can laugh? She says, laugh with the Lord. So when we walk through life with this constant sense of the divine presence within us. Now imagine even for a moment that we are walking with the Divine Mother and there is a problem, there is a big whatever force we can imagine standing in front of us, what will our state be? Will we be afraid, or will simply look at the Divine Mother and we laugh that, you know, he doesn't know who is the one who is walking with me? So the third is to laugh at the adversary. It takes away the strength, she says. It takes away the energy of the adversary, because he enjoys terrorizing us. He enjoys filling our minds with fear. He feeds upon our fear. This is the part that he wants. Fear is his food. And when he sees that this person is not afraid at all, he is deprived of his food, he begins to starve, and he begins to at least walk away from that. So these are some of the ways that we can deal with the challenges and difficulties that perplex us. One is turn our mind away into anything, reading something beautiful, engaging with something good, learning a hobby, 100 things we can do. Second is by substituting. Whatever it is, we face it and substitute it with its very opposite. Third is we face and we laugh at the face. We are not afraid of it. We look at the Divine Presence who is in this universe, everywhere and in everything. And the Divine Presence is within us. And if we can take that approach and attitude, no difficulty can stay for long. But more importantly, we must understand that the difficulty is not just outside. Each such attack comes to reveal to us the difficulty within us. So when there is an attack of illness, it is also inwardly, it is a reminder that still there is fear. This fear must be worked upon. It's not enough that we simply deal with the outer challenge. Because if inside there is the seed of the problem, the inner difficulty, then it will come again in one way or the other. Men who live in fear will find reasons for fear. If not this, then something else. And wherever there is fear, life is a perpetual suffering and hell. So let us be freed from all this by one simple way, and it is to take refuge in the arms of the Lord, nestle in the Lord, think of the Lord, think of all the beautiful things that we can imagine, think of ideal love, think of flawless happiness, think of a deathless state, think of the presence of the immortal within us, think of discovering the psychic being, think of discovering the divine in each atom of existence, think of being an instrument and of service of the divine, and slowly we'll see that all these things, useless things, I won't even use the word negative, which are occupying the mind space, will automatically vanish as a dream vanishes and fades away. And we wake up to reality. Namaste.